This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, glad to be with us here on a Thursday, Throwback Thursday, on SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. Masters will get underway today, round number one, and the NBA playoffs coming up this weekend. The NHL playoffs got underway last night. So we are in that April month where we've got a lot of things going on. All right, so listen, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, the Masters, right? Major League Baseball, NCAA tournament, it all comes in the month of April. But I still think the biggest event is yet to come, and that is the NFL draft. Living in the city that's hosting the draft, I can tell you that there is a real taste for what is going to occur in a couple of weeks, right? There is going to be a big celebration of the city and this event. And I give it to the NFL because I don't experience it in the other cities because I didn't live in the other cities. But to every day, there is a story about what the NFL is planning or doing or wants to do to make the NFL draft opening day a bigger celebration. Now, think about that for a second and process that for a second. Okay, the NFL had an event that for years just was an event they had on the weekend and was on TV. At one point, it wasn't even on TV. You would just wake up one morning and just read who the team drafted. And somehow they've morphed it. And they realized people were into it. And they realized that people were making a living predicting it and processing it and analyzing it. And they started to realize, wait a minute, hold on. There's money to be made here. There's a party that can happen here. There's something we can do with this. And now they've turned it into the biggest sporting event in a jam-packed month of sporting events. I mean, April is arguably, with maybe October, one of the best sports months we have on the calendar because we have everything in all the major sports going on. And then throw in, as I said, college basketball, the Masters. It is a great month. And the NFL wins because it's the NFL and also because they've taken this thing, this draft, turned it into such a party. Kids becoming instant millionaires. And because we are really into it, we want to be part of that party. Now, I don't know what kind of party Nashville is going to throw. I'm sure it's going to be awesome. I'm sure it's going to be great. But it's the draft that's the best thing in April.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Throwback Thursday here on SB Nation AM as we celebrate the 2004 win of the Masters by Phil Mickelson on this date. All right, so why did you choose this song, you were telling me?
Because during this time, it was my other blonde crush.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Jessica Simpson.
Jessica Simpson. Well done. Was this when Dukes of Hazzard came out?
Around that time, yeah.
Okay, with Johnny Knoxville?
Yeah, the only really redeeming thing about that whole movie.
Yeah, that's true.
Although I did like Willie Nelson as Uncle Jesse.
That was really good.
I thought that was a good choice. Other than wasn't really a whole lot to it, right?
Yeah, it's very true. Very, very true.
It's Uncle Jesse or Willie Nelson and that one scene with Daisy Dukes.
Yes, that's right. That's very true. Dukes of Hazzard, Jessica. What's she doing these days? Is she still around?
No, I think she's a mom.
Just doing the mom thing?
Yeah.
She's not doing anything else?
You'll see a photo like she had a kid, she put on a lot of weight, and then she's in a Weight Watchers commercial. I don't know.
Yeah.
It must be nice to live the Hollywood lifestyle to say, yeah, you know what? I gained a little weight, and somebody fat shamed me, and now look, I lost it all, and I'm looking like myself again.
Exactly. I was speaking of which, I was watching the Joker trailer again the other, because I'm really fascinated by this movie with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
And there's a scene in the trailer where he's dancing and he looks
anemic.
He looks awful. Like how do these stars lose that kind of weight for those roles like so quickly? What kind of laxative do they take where they just lose 60 pounds and look like a starvation victim?
Yeah, well, there was a story years ago. Do you remember the movie Courage Under Fire? with Meg Ryan and Denzel Washington. Well, Matt Damon's in that movie, and he almost killed himself.
Doing that.
Because you probably don't. I mean, it's a small role. He was one of the soldiers that Denzel Washington was interviewing.
Right.
Because he played a medic. He was Meg Ryan's. Like, Meg Ryan flew a helicopter.
So
he
lost a lot of weight.
He lost a lot of weight to show that he was a drug addict.
He almost died?
He almost died because he did not seek any help on properly losing weight. There is a proper way to lose weight quickly, and he pretty much just fasted because he wanted to make himself look like a strung out drug addict.
Yeah, well, what's his face? Matthew McConaughey did that for Dallas Buyers Club. Right?
Yeah, but he had
trainers on site.
Yeah, he had a dietitian showing him how to properly do it.
That doesn't seem right, though. Like whether you have a dietitian or not, a dietitian can't guarantee you that your body's going to be like okay with this.
No, they can't guarantee.
Like they can help you with making sure that you're getting vitamins and things like that. But there's no like, oh, don't worry, you'll be safe. Here's the dietitian. Your body may go, wait a minute, what are we doing? There's no calories here. Like this, we're shutting down.
Right.
No, but they look like they're gonna die.
And that's what Matt Damon was doing himself. I mean, he was running the risk of just the way he was not eating. I don't know what he did to do
crazy.
It. But he ran the risk of having some organ failure or things of that nature.
And you can't just go back to eating. Like if you get to a point where you got to go on like a liquid diet for a little bit, then you start taking in food. But you can't just like, oh, I'm heading to Golden Corral now and just pig out. Your body will just regurgitate that back up. You can't.
Exactly.
You can't. Well, your body just goes, no, not yet. Like
Christian Bale just recently said, after the role in Vice where he played Dick Cheney and he put on a whole bunch of weight, that he says he's done doing those type of roles.
Yeah, of course.
Where he's just, fluctuating back and forth, back and forth.
Can't do it. Like, can you imagine if somebody came up to you and said, Ron, we need you to gain 60 pounds to be in this role. And, you're gonna make $15 million.
I'd be like, I'm already there.
Oh, are you kidding? This is awesome.
I'm already there. I want the role where I lose 60 pounds. Come on.
But if somehow I was an actor, and I'm overweight, but somehow I was an actor and they said, listen, we're going to pay you $20 million for this movie, Miss Tony D. You're such a big celebrity. You warrant that kind of dollar value. But you got to lose. You got to be like 115. Like I wouldn't be able to do it. Like my body is never going to be that thin.
No, I
like my body will never
either.
Be that light. Like never, ever, ever, ever. It would die first. I'd die first.
I just say you have a time machine.
Yeah,
because you're going to have to go way back.
Way back. But he looks, again, that trailer, he looks crazy. I mean, really looks crazy. All right, so there's more fallout from the Magic Johnson situation. Not really more fallout, but now more people are thinking, okay, what is really going on? We got the surprising news Tuesday night. So Wednesday, people were breaking it down. Now we were starting to really start going, okay, wait a minute. Magic Johnson is, okay, look, Magic Johnson chose whatever he was doing before to whatever he was doing for the Lakers, right? He wasn't leaving the Lakers to do something else. He wasn't leaving the Lakers to go into television. He wasn't leaving the Lakers to go pursue something even more, bigger with something else. He wasn't taking a job with the NBA, let's say, or anything else. Magic chose to do whatever he was doing before he got the job. That was more appealing than helping the Lakers resurrect itself. Okay, now that to me is hard to take, okay? Because I remember being in Denver when the Broncos were an embarrassing organization. Not only was Josh McDaniels not working out in year two, right? They were losing games. They had gotten accused of stealing plays or filming plays for against the San Francisco 49ers in their game in London. And they fired McDaniels. They lost to Oakland by a ton at home. It was awful. Just an awful season. And Pat Bowlen wanted to go to the fan base and give the fan base something that says, I got this. I got this under control. And he brought in John Elway. Now, John Elway wasn't a guy that was sitting around selling cars and just enjoying his playing some golf and like, oh, yeah, I'll take over the Broncos. Sure. What do you do around here? How do you do this? I mean, would you just show up and sign people? What do you do? Elway had actually been involved in the Arena Football League, the Colorado Crush, and he ran that. Like, he wasn't just a figure, like a figurehead owner. He ran that, and he got him a championship. So he knew how to, he knew how the front office was played. Even though it was Arena League, he knew how the front office was played. He was a good hire because not only was he a football smart guy from a president of operations kind of position, but he also was somebody they knew, somebody the fan base knew, and somebody the fan base could say, John's going to have this. John's going to take this. John's going to get us there. If you're a Laker fan, did you ever feel that way about Magic Johnson? Did you ever feel that Magic Johnson was even capable of doing this job? Now, listen, it might be a stretch in Denver to say Elway was going to be a good Broncos GM because he ran an arena team and won a football. But people did that. People did that. People believed that. That he really was going to take the Broncos to that next place because of his work with the Arena League. I'm always telling you, be skeptical of the athlete that goes into the front office. Not everybody is capable of doing that. Not everybody is capable of running a team. Just because you play quarterback or linebacker or running back doesn't mean you could run an organization. Those are two totally different skill sets.
No, and be honest with you, in Magic's case, I always looked at it more as like an honorary position.
Right, right.
You know, I was like, oh, you know, Laker legend. Yeah, why not make him a president? But he's not really going to be making the, you know, he's not really going to be the one in charge.
I actually made that point in Denver when I was on the radio back then. I said, this is a figurehead. And I had people telling me, no. Nope,
he's the
nope,
one who's going to
nope.
talk in front of the camera because yep. he's, you know, got a great personality. He could sell ice to an Eskimo type personality and, you know, he'll sell you on anything. And that's what I always looked at. I didn't really think he was actually doing anything.
No. So given that Magic's went, you know, here was Magic's opportunity to, even if he wasn't really doing anything, here was Magic's opportunity if he just could get some people around LeBron and they were competitive and they were making a run at the Western Conference title, if they were making a run at an NBA championship, he could be Magic even on a larger scale, right? Like, he doesn't even have to do anything. If Rob Pelinka, him, Jeannie Buss, anybody else just sort of goes, Kawhi, we come on over. Anthony Davis, I know it's a little late, but you can come on over now. Right? Sorry about that whole mess in, you know, last year, but come on over now. And they put a team around him. Magic gets to be the hero again. Like, Magic gets to be saving the Lakers Magic. And instead he goes, nah, I had this beautiful life and that's what I want to go to. So it's a bizarre reasoning to leave, to just say, I mean, he's basically admitting without coming out and giving the details, and I'm sure there's plenty of details of the decision that he doesn't want to share, but on the surface, you get what you get, which is the excuse of, nah, man, this thing stinks. I'd rather do nothing. I'd rather do my own thing. I'd rather do my own business than do this. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, when he talks about crying and stuff like that, well, nobody's forcing you out. And nobody's making you do this. If you're going to leave, be happy. It shouldn't be, this was a real difficult decision. No one's asking you to make a difficult decision. If you don't have to do anything, you could stick around and see how it goes. But maybe, just maybe, Magic just really likes talking about other players in the league. Maybe, just maybe, Magic is just so sick and tired of the NBA going, you know, Magic, you can't talk about mentoring Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons isn't on your team. And he's like, oh, I know. You know, you can't talk about a jump shot from some kid, you know. You can't say Trae Young looks really good. He's not on your team. And maybe, just maybe, he misses being that kind of an analyst, if you will.
Yeah, I don't think he liked rules.
I don't think he liked rules at all.
Like, I think that was the problem. Exactly, there was right. All these rules that kept him from just being him, being Magic.
Yeah, and so, I mean, president of basketball operations. I mean, what exactly is that? Yeah.
And right? The truth is, you know,
is he negotiating contracts? No,
no. But we would have been fine him quitting. You know, him resigning, we would have been fine with that had he just done it the right way.
No doubt.
And I think that's where the big rub is that he just, you know, it was an impromptu thing. It was like a reporter asked a question. He's like, And the thought process was, you know what? I'm going to say it now. Yeah. Before I tell anybody else, before I talk to any of my bosses, I'm just going to let the world know I'm done.
It, totally a different.
Because you could see when he was saying it, there was a huge weight lifted off his shoulders.
Oh, yes.
He got giddy. He was happy. He was excited. He's like, I can go back to being me. I'm not going to get the Lakers in trouble anymore.
And then it was like, no, I'm done. I don't have to do this. You're right. I can now say whatever I want to say. I can say that, Giannis Antetokounmpo is a great player. Like, without somebody going, you can't really say that. What do you mean he's a great player? Yeah, but you're in a role that you can't say that. What are you talking about? Right? Why can't I say it? Well, it's just weird. What do you mean it's weird? Like, I'm done.
Yeah, you saying Giannis is a great player is tampering. Because now you're trying to get him to the Lakers because you like
if
him.
You say that, that sends a signal to Giannis's people that he, you know, when he becomes a free agent, you'd be willing to take him. Well, yeah, I'd be willing to take him. Yeah, but you see, it's got to be in your head. It can't be out public. What are you talking about? That's just the way it is. I'm leaving. I'm done with this. I'm out. Yeah, and here's the deal. And let's be honest. I'll come back. When we come back, I'll tell you why the Lakers are going to be better off anyway. Now this is all white, you know, kind of done. That Magic is out. That's coming up next on SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you can be with us on SB Nation AM. And now you can earn O reward points online at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Earn points in any way you shop at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You get a $5 reward for every 150 points you earn. Visit orewards.com, become an O'Reilly O Rewards member today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. All right, listen, the Lakers are better off now. Because, listen, Magic is a celebrity hire, right? Magic was not brought in to be this front office basketball genius. You didn't have to be around the game to know that he didn't have the skills for that job. What he had was he had the skills of being Magic, right? And listen, and I hate to keep going back to the Elway comparison, but it's really parallel, right? Because, you know, Elway taking over the Broncos, he's a big celebrity. So he sits down with Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's like, man, I want to go to Denver because Elway relates to me. Like, Elway gets me, right? Maybe that's what happened with LeBron, or maybe LeBron was heading to LA to begin with. We'll really never know because LeBron paid homage to Magic in the signing with the Lakers. And like I said, maybe deep down LeBron's like, I don't care who was in that room. I'm signing with the Lakers anyway. I wanted to be in Los Angeles. I got movies to make. But right on the surface, he said all the right things about how Magic was very important and influential in his decision to play for the Lakers. Okay, so then we have no other reasons to doubt that, so let's give it to him. But being a front office guy, it's not his thing. But now Jeannie Buss, now this Lakers organization, which wants to be resurrected, it needs to be resurrected because that's what they do. Now Jeannie Buss can go after really smart front office guys who do that for a living. That's what they do, right? They're experts at it. They know how to get talent. They know how to pay for talent, and they know what the right coaching. They just know. Now, I said yesterday, and I still believe it, that unless a GM, current GM, president, whatever, whoever she's after, that person is going to have to get to the bottom as to exactly why Magic left. And it's not because he wants to sit on his couch and enjoy his beautiful life. Magic sat in a meeting with Jeannie Buss for 3 hours and never once hinted or made any reference to the possibility of not being around. Something happened. It usually always is. Right? There's always a reason. If I'm Sam Presti, for example, if I'm Tim Connelly of the Denver Nuggets, I am trying to find my sources to find out exactly why Magic abruptly quit. Just to make sure I'm not walking into a dysfunctional situation. And if I can live with it and I can start, then I go because it's an iconic franchise and you can breathe the process of bringing it back up. I go back to years ago, remember 2013, I think, is when, remember when Dwight Howard was deciding whether or not he wanted to leave the Lakers and he was getting all these pitches. He ended up going to Houston, but he was getting pitched from all these teams. And I'll never forget Kobe showed up and the story went, Kobe went in and did not beg Dwight Howard to stay. So all these teams were going in like, Dwight, you're going to be the centerpiece of a championship. We're going to put a team around you. You're going to be the centerpiece of everything that we're trying to build. We're trying to win a title. And Kobe didn't beg. Kobe didn't say, we need you, Dwight. We want you here, Dwight. What Kobe's message was, by reports that were coming out, he said, we're the Lakers. We're going to be back. And if you want to be a part of it, then stay. Because we don't stay down for very long. That was the attitude of the Lakers. And if you go through their history, he's right. He was right. The Lakers will win championships, and then dive down a little bit, then come right back and win championships, and then dive down a little bit, and then that's what they do. They've done that forever. And so Kobe's message was, this is bigger than you. We're going to do this with or without you. If you want to be part of it, then stay with us. But we're doing it. And we're doing it with or without you. So don't worry, because we're the Lakers. That's what we do. So if you're a general manager, that's attractive. If you're a GM, that's attractive. But you've got to get to the bottom of this. You just want to clean it up. What am I walking into? What's the power dynamic? Why did a guy who really had a no-show job, why did he feel the need to publicly quit that no-show job? Obviously, I'm going to do more work than Magic when I get there, but I do want to know what I'm walking into. Because we've always said this about the NBA. The NBA used to be, well, you go to the Knicks, you go to the Lakers. If you want to be marketable, you go to the big cities. That's not the case, right? It hasn't been the case for a long time. The world is smaller. If you're Kevin Durant and you start your career in Seattle/Oklahoma City, you can do Sprint commercials. You can have a national presence. You're a Giannis Antetokounmpo. You can be a marketable star in Milwaukee. Shaq was marketable in Orlando. Right, there's no need to go somewhere else, to go to the big city. This isn't baseball, right? So if you're the general manager of Oklahoma City, you're the Oklahoma or Denver or Masai Ujiri in Toronto. What's attractive about the Lakers? Well, they're the Lakers, and they know that they're going to be good again. They know they're going to come back. That purple and gold carries a lot of weight. There's a lot of people that want to see the resurrection of the Lakers, or at least want to be part of it. So if you're a GM and you're intrigued by that, Jeannie Buss can pay whatever she wants to bring you in. There's really no limit to what she can do. She'll pay you $10 million if you're good and you're worth it. So in a way, this is better for the Lakers because they don't have a no-show job, you know, filling that role, a guy that's going to be a problem with tampering. And now they can get a guy that's business. Like, let's get into the business of building this. Because Jeannie Buss and the Lakers right now need somebody that comes in and is going to go, you know what? Gone, gone, gone. Get him, get him, get him. Let's make a run at him. Draft this guy. This is what they need, somebody with direction. They need somebody that has a plan for the future. And you can say everything you want about Magic, but he never had a plan. Or he never appeared to have a plan. Because any plan that he had blew up in his face. That Anthony Davis thing was a debacle. It was so mishandled. And if you're Jeannie Buss, you've got to put somebody in a position where they're not going to do that. They may not get Anthony Davis. Right? They may not get Anthony Davis now. When they could have. They could have got him at the trade deadline. Everybody just needed to keep their mouth shut. Instead, it ruined the Lakers. It ruined the Pelicans. It was totally mishandled. And now she can get somebody that, well, it's not a celebrity. That's not going to sign autographs all day. That's not going to show up at noon. But that's the guy she needs. She needs a guy that's going to show up and go, let's get to work. Because this is a franchise that's worth resurrecting, that will be resurrected, and I'm going to be a part of it. And that's why the Lakers are better off.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
Good, the bad, the dumb. It's on a throwback Thursday, no less. So we celebrate 2004. So let's get it underway.
Let's get
Ron
to
Culver,
it.
Let's get to it.
All right. The good of the day is that you that the Masters does have a sense of humor.
Oh, it does? Really?
Because
I did not believe that.
I know. I find it hard to believe as well. And we might debunk my statement in the next portion of this little segment.
All right.
But
go ahead.
It does have a sense of humor. Did you see Tony Finau yesterday?
No, I did not.
Well, you know, let's go in the Wayback Machine to last year when he was doing the par three competition.
That's right.
And he made a hole in one.
Yep.
And he went, then he started charging down the course and was running really fast. And you remember what happened?
Yeah, he got hurt.
Yeah, well, he not only
and he
got
missed
hurt,
the tournament.
No, he didn't miss. He dislocated his ankle, popped
oh,
it
he had
back
to play
in,
on that, right.
And then he played through it. Not real man, Tony.
Got it.
But he dislocated his ankle and popped it back in. Well, this time, before he teed off for the par three tournament, right before he was about to par, or right before he was about to tee off, I think it might have been his wife or girlfriend, because I don't believe that's his caddy, you know, stopped him. And he's like, oh, yeah, you're right. Took off his shoe and then put on a protective shoe.
Well done.
Protective boot, if you will.
Well done. Yeah, the par three contest, usually you get family members to carry your, like, two wedges and a putter. Yeah, so.
But I just thought it was, I mean, it was, you know, it was like.
Well done.
That was probably the perfect sense of humor that the Masters would allow.
That's probably so. Like, anything more than that, watch out. Be careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for Tony Finau.
So, the bad is that apparently you can have a sense of humor at the Masters. And there's two stories coming out. One is, and I don't know if it's true or not true, if, you know, it's, you obviously, you know, there's certain rules at the Masters that you can't break. Like,
right.
You can't have a cell phone on the course.
Nope.
If you have a cell phone, you're immediately kicked out. Apparently, another one this year that they're going to be cracking down on, and then Augusta National said, oh, we're not going to really crack down on it. But they would crack down on it, is using the phrase dilly dilly.
So can you use the phrase dilly dilly?
You scream out dilly dilly, you're probably going to get kicked out.
Yep. And not only get kicked out, and I don't know how they do this, but like they forbid you from buying tickets.
Yes.
Like there's like your name goes on a list. Like why would you give the name anyway? Like if I'm there and I'm like, my name is Bob Smith. Goodbye.
No, I'll give your name.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. That's true. But no, they're really strict about that. They will kick you out. The cell phone thing, here's the thing about the cell phone thing. I understand they can go off, et cetera, but this is what drives me crazy about golf is they've got to find a way, maybe not at the Masters because the Masters makes its own rules and its own thing, but you go to tournaments and you see cell phones and you go up to put your cell phone up. I saw this at the PGA a couple years ago. Yeah, you can have your cell phone on the course, but if you bring it up to take a picture, like there's somebody there going, put it down, put it down, put it down, put it down. They've got to find a way where the genie is out of the bottle when it comes to this technology. Like it's not going back in. You've got to find a way to embrace this and allow people to take pictures, allow people to take video. This just, it's too much. If you could figure out a way to embrace it, because we're not going back to the dark ages for crying out loud. And so golf has never found a way to make it part of their sport. And this is another millennial, you got to be kidding, I can't have my phone thing. And it just drives people away. And the Masters, I get, the Masters can do whatever they want. It's their club. It's their tournament. It's not even part of the PGA Tour. I mean, it's the Masters is the equivalent to your local country club putting on a golf tournament, inviting the world's best golfers to play, and they all show up. Like, that's basically it. But still, I mean, let people take some pictures.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's not the worst part of it.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard about this story, about the guy who stole some sand.
I did. I saw this yesterday. I saw this, but I didn't hear about it at the time.
No,
I saw the story yesterday, but I don't remember it when it went down like in 2012. it went down.
Right.
But this is a really good story. Go ahead.
The story finally came out. It's a story. I'm trying to find the guy's name. But he was arrested. He was tackled, spat on, arrested, thrown in jail for stealing sand from Augusta. And he actually ended up getting fined $20,000.
Well, here's what this is a really interesting story because I read this article about it yesterday and I was fascinated because I'm always interested in how the Masters deals with this stuff. This guy got a diagnosis for a disease. He didn't know what was wrong with him. He ended up with Lyme disease, but he didn't know and he thought he was going to die. So he was at a baseball game, a World Series game, and he got some dirt from Arlington where right. The Texas Rangers were playing the St. Louis Cardinals or the Giants, one of those two teams. Anyway, he got some dirt and he thought that was a really cool souvenir. So when he was at the Masters, because the Masters uses this pure white fine silicon sand that is very rare, and that's why the golf course looks like snow. He wanted some of it and the tournament was pretty much over. And he ran over to get some, and then security was on top of him, and he got it. And this is the story that was a little confusing. He took a private jet, and he had to pay for the private jet, which makes me less sympathetic to him.
No, I
but
don't know.
He got put in jail. He was part of a crew that was on a private jet.
Right.
But because he was in jail, and because he had to post bond, and the plane had to wait, he ended up footing the bill for the plane on its way back to Oklahoma. But he got fined a lot of money for this.
Yeah.
And he said...
Being thrown in jail, the officers came, they arrested him, put him in an unmarked police car, threw him in jail with other criminals.
Yeah, he said one guy was screaming that he wanted toilet paper. God, that would scare me to death. Are you kidding me? But here's the story here's the story that I thought was a little hyperbolic, okay? And I'm not saying he's lying. But he said, I couldn't leave my house. Like, everywhere I went, people were throwing sand at me. Stop. No, they weren't. Come on. If your buddy was arrested for trying to steal sand at Augusta National, wouldn't you give him a high five if you saw him for at least trying? Like, I hate to admit this, but the sanctity of Augusta National, it pretty much is over outside of Augusta, Georgia.
Right.
Like, no guy, sitting around Birdies and Bogeys sports bar at Chapaluga Country Club is like, you defamed the famed Augusta National.
If you're hanging out with John Daly at Hooters, because you know he will be there again this year signing autographs.
Right.
Do you think John Daly would sit there and, berate you for trying to take a little souvenir?
Exactly. Exactly. Plus, I didn't remember this story, and I really have a hard time believing, because he said he was in Texas and people were giving him a hard time. You weren't that big of a celebrity, man.
No.
Come on. Like, I don't even remember this happening. And I do this for a living.
This
for
is the first I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, so I think that was a little hyperbolic when he talked about how his life was ruined over this. Listen, if my buddy goes to Augusta and he goes to jail for trying to steal sand, I'm like, dude, well done. Are you kidding?
I'm laughing
Good
at
try,
him.
Man.
I'm laughing at him. Now,
you thought you could get away with it? That's pretty awesome.
The only problem is not only did that guy, receive a lifetime ban, but his buddy who bought the tickets also got a lifetime ban.
I know. Now that's bad.
So I don't know if I'd be saying good on you.
No, that's true. But that, dude, that is a really awful penalty. Can you imagine selling Masters tickets and you have to make sure that every single person you're selling the tickets to behaves on another galaxy level? Because if they don't and it tracks back to you that you sold them the ticket, this is what they do. You know when they do this in the NFL? Where a guy goes to a game, he's throwing snowballs. And,
right.
Like he's drunk and he's, doing. And then they go, how'd you get this ticket? Like, my buddy Jim gave it to me. He's a season ticket holder. And the team's like, not anymore.
Or the guy just recently came out, I think yesterday, they found out who the laser pointer guy
was. The laser guy is in Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah. And he might face up to a year in jail.
Yeah, that's right.
Just for shooting a laser pointer. It's like, God, that's just dumb idea at the wrong time, I guess.
That is the Masters sand story is a really, really good story.
Yeah,
it was
so
very
terrible.
Fascinating. It was terrible. It's way over the top. Way ridiculous.
And that could qualify for dumb of the day, but you know what? I got to give it up to Anthony Davis.
Oh, I know where you're going with
and
this.
If you didn't catch it on Twitter or anywhere else, if you were living under a rock, basically, Anthony Davis wore a special shirt to the last the Pelicans home game, and basically the shirt said was, "That's all, folks."
Anthony Davis.
But that's not what's dumb. I could have respected that, you know, him saying "that's all, folks," if he had a good reasoning behind it. But he was actually asked why he wore that shirt.
So all right, just to make sure, so you don't choose what you wear every night. Somebody lays out your clothes, and whatever they lay down, you wear.
Every night, every night, Big Shot lays out what I'm going to wear in the game. So I have no control in that. I just put it on.
Stop it.
Okay. All right. How old is
he? Was he a professional golfer?
I don't know. How old is he?
Yeah, 20.
He has no control over the clothes he wants to wear.
Please.
I mean, are we really supposed to believe that excuse?
He is hoping that you don't understand the life behind the curtain and that you will just accept that as fact.
But I can't.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. You know,
it's a big analogy. But remember when all the guys were getting tested positive for performance enhancing drugs and like, yeah, my trainer gives me pills and I just pop them in my mouth.
Exactly.
I don't know what they are.
Yep.
Right? Like, I don't know. He just tells me to eat this and I eat it. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, somebody went, "Gee, what's clean? Oh my God, I got to do laundry around here for Anthony. Let's see. That's not going to work. That's not going to work. The only thing I got is this "That's All Folks" shirt. I'll just lay it out. I mean, I don't know. Really? Somebody put out a "That's All Folks" shirt on the last game of with the New Orleans Pelicans. Well done. Well done, Anthony.
Yeah, but it wasn't my choice. I had no control over it.
Yeah, I can't do
it. This guy just hands me shirts and I just put them on.
See, professional golfers have to go through this, right? Like, well, you see those outfits, they get told by their clothing supplier, "You're going to wear green and white tomorrow." And you're like, "What?" Like, "No, you're going to wear that. Because that's going to sell on Monday." And you're like, "Really?" "Yes, trust us. You have to wear that. It's part of your contract." But Anthony Davis wearing street clothes? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, you know, the Pelicans organization or any professional sports organization say, "No, you have to wear this jersey."
Right, right, right. Exactly. You know? Right.
You know, you can't wear the alternate jersey. You can't wear another team's jersey. I'm sorry. I know you were a big fan, but you can't wear the opposing team's jersey. You have to wear the jersey of our team. I get that part. You know, yes, you know, you're being told what to wear. But yeah, this is street clothes. This is you walking into the stadium.
Oh God, that's great.
But I find it so dumb just because I would have loved for him to say, "Yeah, you know, that's it. That's all, folks."
That's
I would
right.
love for him to own up to it.
And me
say,
too.
You know, this is how I feel right now. You know, I've been, you know, because he did come out and admit that, you know, he did request a trade and I guess he kind of is backtracking a little bit, like he feels that was a mistake to do it then. But, you know, he's never said that I'm not happy that I didn't request a trade. He wants to be traded.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
Well, so just own up to it.
Just own up to it is right. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Thursday, a throwback Thursday. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on SB Nation AM. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I remember this song, Throwback Thursday 2004. But again, I can't name the artist.
Hoobastank.
Hoobastank. I should know this stuff. I should have done my research. When you told me the year, I should have been like, you know what, I'm not going to look like a fool.
No,
I already look like a fool most of the time, but I don't want to look like a fool like with music, so.
I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be get off my lawn guy.
Right.
Jake Asman, the oldest man in working radio, says.
The oldest young man in radio, Jake Asman.
You know, I'm going through this list, and they're really, you know, I'm just going solely off top 100, right? That's
right.
You know, that's my criteria, is just do top 100. It's pop hits. There's a lot of country hits in this, but I'm trying to stick to just pop hits and, like, find songs that we don't really remember. There really isn't any good music.
Yeah. 2004 is a weird year.
I'm looking at my like, God, you know, I played some of the good hits and hopefully I have a few more coming, but you know, this week was just a bad week in 2004.
It was
the Billboard charts.
On this date, Phil Mickelson won his first major, the Masters, birdieing the 18th hole, beat Ernie Els.
Whatever happened to Ernie?
What did happen to Ernie? Still around?
I mean, that guy dropped off the face of the planet, it feels like.
You know what? This is why when you're a golfer, when you're a professional golfer, this is why you got to win the Masters. Because if you win the Masters, as I've said before, you get to go there until you're like 65, 60, I think forever,
Fred
to be
Couples.
Honest with you. Right, Fred Couples. And so if you're Ernie Els and you're kind of disappeared from golf for a little bit, maybe you're turning 50, maybe you're just kind of doing a little bit here and there, you're not doing as much. But every year, you get to show up at Augusta. The guy I feel most sorry for when it comes to failed Masters attempts is Greg Norman. How many times has Greg Norman had a chance to win at Augusta? A million.
Yep.
I mean, we make this big deal about 1986. Greg Norman famously, in 1986, Greg Norman had what they called the Saturday Slam. He had the lead or was tied for the lead in every major in 1986, and he won one. He won the British Open. And in 1986, he flew a 4-iron over the 18th green, made bogey, and Jack Nicklaus won. In 1987, he lost to Larry Mize's chip-in. He had a 6-shot lead in 1996, and Nick Faldo beat him by 5. Like, it was he just collapsed. He choked. And he doesn't get to go. He doesn't get to go to the Masters and be part of the Champions Dinner or anything like that. Too bad.